On our last session, I want us to talk about phobias and fears. What is the difference between a phobia and a fear? Not a whole lot. Phobia is actually a fear on steroids. It's kind of the kind of thing that totally paralyzes you and keeps you from doing what you know you should do. There's many phobias in the psychological journals. I've written down some of them up here, like arachnophobia. Most of you know that's the fear of spiders. Otodisomophobia. Anybody know what that one is? That is the fear of someone who has a vile odor. Scolionophobia. Any of you have that? Anybody here? Well, let me tell you what it is. Scolionophobia is actually the fear of going to school. Anybody have that one? I thought so. Okay. The next two, androphobia, musophobia, some girls think they're about the same. One is the fear of men. The other is the fear of mice. Catoptrophobia is the fear of looking in a mirror. Lacanophobia, I do struggle with that one a little bit. That is the fear of vegetables. Now, personally, I love vegetables. My favorite is French fries. My second favorite is onion rings, so I am really into vegetables. Emetophobia is kind of gross. Emetophobia literally means to be afraid of throwing up in public, you know, blowing chunks all over your friends. That's a gross one. It is. Zemiphobia, most of us have that. That's the fear of rats. Could you imagine waking up in the middle of the night and a rat has crawled up on your bed and kind of licked your left nostril? Wouldn't that be cool? Ablutophobia, that's the fear of taking a shower or taking a bath. A lot of 7th and 8th grade boys have this one. Achlorophobia, fear of looking in a mirror. Electrophobia, it's a fear of chickens. Anuptophobia, that's the fear of staying single the rest of your life. And then the last one, arachibutyrophobia. Can you say it with me? Arachibutyrophobia. That's actually listed in the psychological journals. It's the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth, okay? Now, these are true fears. These are true phobias. But this is not what we're going to look at this final session together. We're going to look at one that I call martyriophobia. Now, martyria is a Greek word in the Bible. And I guess it's kind of a word I made up, but this is what it is. And we can laugh about the fear of chickens and the fear of peanut butter and the fear of rats. But when it comes to the fear of witnessing, it's really not so funny, is it? Because we're talking about the truth of the gospel that God has worked, I assume, in most of your lives, and simply desiring to share it with your friends. What is the answer to the fear of witnessing? It's in our text today, 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And the word there is phobos. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You say, but Rand, if I go door-to-door knocking on doors, I don't knock on doors. My knees are knocking so loud they come and answer them, you know? It makes me scared to tell others about the Lord. Or I'm just timid, or it's my personality. My Bible that God wrote says this, God has not given us the spirit of fear. And whatever reason you're afraid to share Christ with others, you cannot blame it on God, okay? What has he given instead? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Would you say the last verse with me, please? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Say it again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of her. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? In school, you have to kind of be Christian-like, at least. But what do you do when you get with your friends who are unbelievers? Do you do something or say something to make them think that maybe you're not, like, really into this church stuff? Are you ashamed that you go to a Christian school? Do you know the privilege that you have to be able to go to a Christian school and have teachers that care about you and love you and want you to be close with God? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power is courage. And if you simply say, Lord, okay, if you've not given me the spirit of fear, then why am I so afraid? Lord, give me that spirit of power, that courage. Paul said, I am not, say the next word out loud, please, ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Why would I ever be ashamed of that one simple truth that makes a difference for all eternity? For the which cause also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be, ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't let it embarrass you if you suffer as a Christian. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord is on my side. I won't be afraid. What can man do? Seriously, teens, why are we so afraid? You say, but if I talk about the Lord, they'll shake their head. Let them shake their head. They'll laugh at me. Let them laugh. They'll hit me. You'll heal. They'll kill me. You'll go to heaven. Oh, you're going to live for God, buddy. You think you are? I don't think so. No, do you think anybody's going to come and do that to you? Huh? I don't think so. You okay?
Yeah.
Very good. I'm saying, what are we so afraid of? Do you know what they did in the Bible times? I mean, literally, if an individual was identified with Christ, the Bible tells us the some were sawn asunder. They literally would take a log and hollow it out, put the Christian inside the log, and two men with a crosscut saw would begin going back and forth. If the guy refused to turn his back on Christ, they literally would cut him in half. We read where some were pulled apart. They would tie ropes to both hands and both feet. These ropes would be tied to the back of four different horses, often in the Colosseums in front of thousands of people. Again, if that individual refused to turn his back on Christ, the slaves would bring the whips down across the back of the horses. They'd run to four different directions and dismember and kill these people. I read of this one guy. They caught him and his family. They chained him up. They brought his wife and two kids, and in front of his eyes, they abused them and they murdered them. And then they took the man's eyes out and made him a slave. And the entire time, this is what he said to his family: stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. And do you know what it takes for some of you to turn your back on God outside of the school? Watch me. This is all it takes for some of you. That's it. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, courage. He's also given us the spirit of the attitude of love or compassion. You know the phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And if some have compassion, it does make a difference. Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward him because they were like sheep having no shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Okay? With this simple truth, just for instance, what's your first name again?
Joe.
Just suppose Joe has an opportunity, a new kid moves down the street. He's like junior in high school and thinking about coming here, goes to public school, but they get to be friends. And his friend says, hey, come on down. He has a new video game. They're going to play it on Saturday. So Joe's thinking, oh, this is perfect. I'm going to go down. We're going to play this game. I know I can beat him, but I'm going to let him win so he's in a good mood. And then I'm going to tell him about the Lord. So he gets down there, and they're playing the game. And he almost gets beat, but, you know, he's kind of slides in there. And he knows he can win. But anyway, he lets the kid win. Then it's time to share Christ. So all of a sudden, Joe's thinking, oh, boy. I don't think he's going to like this. And if I talk to him about the Lord, I may never have an opportunity again. Duh, I have an opportunity right now. Or if I do this, he may get upset. He's going to tell everybody else. He's going to mock me. He's going to hate me. He's going to make fun of me. I'll just pray for another opportunity, okay? If that happened to you, Joe, you cannot tell me that you love that guy. You only fear. If you truly love, you're going to think this: I don't think he's going to like this witness, but I don't care. I do not want him to go through this life without knowing how his sins can be forgiven. I don't care if he never speaks to me again. I'm going to share the gospel with him. I have a brother-in-law that's an atheist. He hates God. He'll tell you that. And I remember one time down in North Carolina, they came to visit, and he wouldn't go to services, and he kind of mocks Christianity big time. But he likes to hike, and we have this big falls. It's 125 feet high. You seniors will see it this spring. It's called the Fourth Falls. So I hiked him down there. It takes about an hour and a half round trip. So here we are down there on this great big rock looking at this beautiful waterfalls. And I said, Mike, you know, I've given my life to encourage teens I don't even know to know about my wonderful God. It would be foolish if I didn't share that with you. Mike, if you will let me share the gospel with you, my heart, I promise you I would never, ever bring it up again. I'll never preach to you again unless you ask me. He said, go for it. Oh, boy. 2 hours. I gave him the gospel from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I went to the Old Testament minor prophets, even that Italian one, Malachi, at the end of the Bible, Old Testament. I went to all these guys every way I could. And when I was done, after 2 hours, literally 2 hours, explaining the gospel, this is what he said. He said, Rand, I appreciate your concern, but I don't want anything to do with your God. I've only seen him a couple times since then. One time I went and said, I gave him a big hug, said, Mike, I'm praying for you. He kind of pulls back and he goes, you can spend your free time any way you want. My heart hurts for him. But if I just got all fearful and afraid, then I don't care. There's no fear in love. When you truly love somebody, you won't be afraid to share the truth with them. Did you know that nearly half of all high school seniors have used an illegal drug at least once, and almost 90% have used alcohol, some on a daily basis? Every 31 seconds, a teen becomes pregnant. Every 20 minutes, a teen is killed in an accident. And every 80 minutes, one is murdered. Did you know every 78 seconds, a teen in this country attempts suicide? And every 90 minutes, one succeeds? And this kind of stuff is happening in this city called Lafayette and West Lafayette. Do you care? Do you care about the other kids that live in this town? Many years ago, right on the front of Time Magazine and Newsweek, there was a picture of a teenage girl. Her name was Lynette. She had a nickname. Her name was Squeaky. Lynette Squeaky Fromm. Lynette will spend probably forever in prison because of her identification with a mass murderer named Charles Manson. You know the rock guy, Marilyn Manson, took part of his name from this murderer. After the assassination attempt on President Gerald Ford, of course they went to prison. The way the story goes is this. In her interview, see if I can get it right, she said, when I was 15, I was a misfit. I didn't fit in at school. I didn't fit at home. I didn't fit in anywhere, so I ran away. I ended up sitting on a corner in Whittier, California. Sitting there, a man walked up to me, put his hand on my head, and said, if you will follow me, I will take care of you. She said, I believed him. His name was Charles Manson. And she said, today I would still die for him. She continued through the interview, and then she said this, I finally decided whoever would love me first could have my life. Did you know that there's girls like Lynette Squeaky Fromm living like 5, 6, 7 doors down from you guys? Kids that have parents that don't care and have no friends, and all they want is a friend. Someone to love them. That's it. Someone to care. You guys like have the truth. You know how your sins are forgiven. There's nothing better you can give than that. I want you to do something for me. Sit up real tall. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Sit up though. Don't stare at the floor. And all I want you to do is think of three people right now. I want you to bring to your mind three faces and the first names of three friends that you have that are not Christians. Could be a relative, could be somebody that lives near you, a cousin. Get their first names and get their faces in your mind. Three individuals, okay? All right, look at me. For those three individuals, do you really care about them? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, courage, compassion, and of course, a sound mind, confidence. The Bible tells us, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that not hath not the Son hath not life. This is salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God is not willing that what? Say it. God is not willing that any should perish. Say it. God is not willing that. We know that is his will. He doesn't want you to spend eternity separated from him in hell. We know God sent his son to die for all. When it comes to confidence and communication, sometimes you'll say, Rand, well, man, what? What if they ask me something I don't know? Let me tell you what to do. If they ask you a question you don't know about the Bible, you look at them and say, I don't know. That's okay. But don't think I'm dumb. Let them think you're dumb, okay? Say, I don't know, but that is a great question. Give me 1 week and I'll study it. And we'll have lunch together again next week. We'll get together and I'll give you the answer. Or if they ask you a question, you say, I don't know. That's a tough one, but I got a good friend. How about Saturday? We'll meet at McDonald's, lunch on me. I'll bring my friend. They'll explain. Now, your friend just happens to be one of your teachers here, or it could be maybe your youth pastor, your pastor. So you can answer their questions. My kids went to public school, and I remember one guy came to Anna and said, Anna, you know that the Bible teaches that Mary ascended up into heaven just like Jesus, don't you? Now, what was Anna supposed to say? You idiot. No, she didn't. No. You never attack anybody's belief system. You just plant little seeds of doubt so that they are driven to the gospel truth. She says, really? I didn't know that. Where is that in the Bible? He said, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you tomorrow. Comes back to school all bleary-eyed, you know. He stayed up late trying to find it. And he said, Anna, it's not in there, is it? She said, no. Then he said this, what else do they teach me at my church that's not in the Bible? And he started coming to our church. Just by simply saying, I don't know. Communication game. Now, I know teens love to communicate. Guys, do these girls know how to talk in your school? Oh, boy. I know they do, okay? Do you ever walk in, just smile when you walk in while you guys are eating? I don't know how you have time to chew your food. It's just amazing. It really is. It's cool. I like it. But I know you can communicate, and I know you can talk. So, we're going to play a little game here, okay? In 1 second, I'm going to have every single one of you interview somebody else in this room. It cannot be anybody that's sitting within 2 or 3 seats of you. I'd rather you interview somebody you really kind of don't know. But you're going to ask them these 5 questions. It's not hard to do, okay? What is your full name? That's first, middle, and last name. You're going to ask, where were you born? What is your favorite restaurant? What is your favorite breakfast cereal? And who do you want to marry? Okay? Now, you're going to ask them these questions. Now, listen closely. Here's what I want you to do. In 1 second, we're going to do this very, very quickly, and I'm going to say go. That's when you start. You will stand up. And before, listen, you will stand up, you'll find somebody in this room to interview, you got to find them very quickly, but you have to stay at least 10 feet away from them. Everybody stand up, point at your partner, 10 feet away. Ready, go! Okay, thank you. Woo. Everybody back to your seat. Shh, shh, shh. Thank you. Back to your seat. You're done. Time's up. Okay, now that was a little difficult to get the information, got it? And I'm going to explain why it was difficult. Well, number one, because you're too far apart. You cannot communicate well when you're 10 feet apart from each other. It's kind of like when mom is in the kitchen and you're like in your room or in the living room and she calls you, what do you want? Don't do that. Go and see mom, okay? Too far apart. Just a few minutes ago, I asked you to come up in your mind with 3 unsaved friends. And you know, some of you sat out there and went, I don't think I can do that. What are you on this earth for? You? Just to have fun and hang out with your Christian friends? If you cannot tell me the names of 3 unsaved friends, you're not reaching out very far. We live our lives too far apart. Too many voices. It's pretty loud in here. And these kids that are not raised like you and don't get to go to a Christian school and have a good church, there's so many voices. Am I supposed to be a Mormon or maybe a Hindu? Should I be a Catholic or a Muslim, a Christian? What should I do? And there's so many voices coming. With that in mind, did you know there's actually, though, only 2 quote-unquote religions in the whole wide world? There's only 2. One is called Do. Look at me, no talking. One is called Do, and the other is called Done. Almost every religion in the world, you have to do something to earn God's favor. You've got to be baptized. You've got to go through some ritual. You have to do something. In Bible Christianity, you don't do anything. It's a free gift from our wonderful Lord. But there's a lot of voices out there. Too little time. I only gave you 45 seconds. And you're busy. Ooh, you're really busy. Because every morning, you wake up in your Christian bed and reach over and smack your Christian snooze alarm, you know? You get out of your Christian bed and you go brush your Christian teeth, and then you have a little Christian breakfast and get in your mom's Christian soccer mom van, and you ride to your Christian school, and you hang out with your Christian friends, and you go buy your Christian lunch, and then you practice little Christian sports, and then you go back and do a little Christian homework, watch a little Christian TV, eat a little Christian supper, and go back to your Christian bed again. And you're busy being a Christian, enjoying your life, when you have friends who are crying out for someone to care. Those three friends. Well, you're doing your little Christian thing. What are they doing? Most of you don't know what it's like to go to bed at night and wonder, if I die, am I going to hell? Most of you have professed Christ since you're little, since you're young. And you're not understanding the fear they can grip the heart of an unsafe person. Relationships matter most to teens. They really do. You know that. It is the reason for Facebook. Everybody's got to have a friend and wants to have a friend. The most important relationship in all the world is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just something you do and something that you have to sign. It is a relationship. It's not a religion, because God is real. He wants to be real to you. It's a relationship we're supposed to have. Look what it says. For by him, Jesus, were all things created. He spoke things into being that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. They were created by him, say the last three words, and for him. You were created, you personally, to have a personal relationship with God. And so were you, and so were you. In fact, can I give you a big time paraphrase of Psalm 139? A long, 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 long time ago, God went into his workshop and he started making each one of you. He did. He got all the chromosomes together. By the way, did you hear what the one chromosome said to the other chromosome? Do these genes make me look fat? Anyway, he got all this stuff together and he made you and the color of your hair and texture of it and your height and your ability to be an athlete or to be musical or to work with your hands. Or he made you. In fact, God put his thumbprint on you, unlike any other. Someday in eternity, God can go to one of his angels, say Gabriel, say, hey Gabriel, could you go find Scott Grass? And the angel says, there's like, I don't know, maybe a billion Christians out there. Which one is he? God says, you'll see this in his life. Because God has a mark on this man, unlike any other that's ever been created. Therefore, God can know Scott better than Scott can know Scott. And he does the same for each one of you. He wants to know you in that very personal way. It's a relationship that many don't have. Your sin has separated between you and your God. We are born sinners, we choose to sin. Unless our sin is separated from us, we have to be separated from God. That's part of God's holiness. Either your sin is forgiven because you're trusting Christ and Christ alone, or you personally will pay the penalty for your sin. It's a relationship all can have. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. That's when he died on the cross. The just, that's Jesus. For the unjust, that's you and me. Say the last phrase with me. Ready? That he might bring us to God. Say it again. That he might bring us to God. And this is so cool. This is why God came down, wrapped himself in flesh, lived on this earth. He did not only die for us and raise for us. He lived for us. He never ever sinned. That's why he could pay the penalty. Isn't that cool? It's an amazing thing. It really, really is. What's your first name? Noel. How old are you, Noel? 14. Okay, Noelle's 14. Just suppose for Noelle's 15th birthday, her dad and mom come say, Noelle, you're just a blessing to us. You really are, and we trust you, and you're doing so well. So we're going to give you this credit card, okay? Now be careful, but if you want it, you can use it to get whatever you want. It has a limit of $10,000, so I want you to be careful, okay? In 2 weeks, Noelle blows it on clothes at Walmart, okay? So after 2 weeks, Mr. Banker calls Noelle and says she goes to the bank and she knows that she has this and doesn't understand what's going on. Walks in and he says hi and she says hi. And he says, you have a credit card with us. And it has a max of $10,000. Yep. So you owe us $10,000. She said, okay. And she reaches into her pocket and pulls out 58 cents and hands it to Mr. Banker. He says, no. Noelle, you owe us $10,000. At that point, something clicks. I don't have that. She starts to freak out. Now, meantime, there's another man standing in the lobby, a businessman. And he's standing there listening to this conversation. Finally, he interrupts and says to the banker, Mr. Banker, I'm kind of in a hurry, and I need to do some business with you. I see Noelle has a problem here. I'm new in town. I don't owe your bank anything. If she doesn't mind, I want to pay off her debt for her. And the banker says, wait. You want to pay her debt with your money? He says, yeah. If you check, I don't owe you anything. And the banker says, okay, it's up to Noelle. You want to pay it off? She says, mm-hmm. Can Mr. Banker come back to Noelle in 2 weeks and say, you owe me $10,000? Can he? No. Why? Because it was paid in full. Teams, this is what Jesus did for us. And we don't even have 52 cents to offer. Jesus paid the entire payment. He died that he might bring us to God. It's a relationship everybody has to choose. Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you get those three friends in your mind again right now. Got them? Got their names? If you one by one go to them, say within the next couple weeks, and you share the simple gospel with them that Jesus died, was buried, rose again for them, for their sins, and they must trust him and him alone, here's what's going to happen. Some of those are going to totally reject Christ. They say, that's for you, that's not for me. That's okay. That's okay. We are not to be the saviors of men. I'm just a servant of man. All I do is share this wonderful truth. It's up to those people to accept it or not. Others ignore him. Cool, yeah, whatever. We'll go play again. They just ignore it. Some postpone him. That's good. And someday, after I'm done having fun as a teen, someday I'm going to accept Christ. Teens, look at me. I'm going to give you a little theology quickly here. You cannot get saved just anytime you want to. The Bible is very clear that the Spirit of God draws men. The Spirit convicts men, draws them. But there's also, if you say, no, God, no, leave me alone, no, no! The Bible teaches us clearly that there comes a time when a man says to God, leave me alone, and God says, okay. His Spirit will not always strive with men. There's not one of us in this room that know when that time comes. That's why we must continue to lovingly share the gospel. The only person I ever met in my life that stepped over the line that I believe, it was an elderly Catholic priest that I was witnessing to. I was flying somewhere. This is many years ago. He's about 75. And I saw him sitting in the airport. And I walked over and plopped down. And I said, sir, are you a priest? He says, yes. What do I need to do to go to heaven? He says, just do the best you can. You look like a nice young man. Do the best you can. You'll be okay. I said, well, what is there about like being a sin and getting forgiveness? He said, who are you? So I told him who I was and what I did. We got talking. Actually, we really became friends. We talked for an hour there, went to Charlotte, North Carolina, had 2 more hours together. He opened up his heart, and I begged him to trust Christ. And he would say, Rand, I can't. I said, yes, you can. He said, no, I can't. I said, why? He said, when I was in my mid-40s, I was under deep conviction from God. I knew what I was doing was just like a religion, just formality, tradition. And I knew that I needed to go to the Bible and see what it said. And I kept telling God no. In fact, I told God no so many times, he stopped convicting me, and I will spend forever in hell. Now, that's what he told me. If you're not saved, please don't think you can play a little game with God. You know, the one that scares me more than any is this one. The people I know that I try to introduce to Christ, I honestly would rather the rejection or the ignoring or the postponing than agree. Because I'm meeting teens all over. Oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus died for me. Yep. B-I-B-L-E, Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay, all this stuff. We got that. And you agree with it because you're part of a Christian school and you go to church. But inside, there's no conviction when you sin. There's no hunger for the Word of God. There's no desire to change. There's no burden for lost souls. The things that are normally in somebody's life who has the Spirit of God dwelling within. There's no like birthmarks of a believer, they call them. And honestly, when I meet a teen and they have no hunger for the Word and they don't care if they ever do what is right and no conviction when they sin, whoa, I would be concerned for my soul. Something is wrong. The key is to commit to him. And the word commit is huge. If you ever came to the wilds of North Carolina, we have a big lake and we have this thing called a blob. It's a huge air mattress, not quite as long from here to the door, but almost. It's about this wide. And what we do is we go way up in the tower. Many of you have been on them. And you jump down, go to the end, and then we jump on and they go up in the air and flip around two or three times and come back down. Okay, young lady, would you stand up, please, right here? Would you stand up? Sir, would you stand up? Okay, he can't blob her, okay? Why? Because we don't have access to the space shuttle, okay? Have a seat, you know? You know, we have to have a weight limit there. But just suppose he did blob her. She goes up in the air, flips around three or four times, comes down, hits the water, goes down, comes up, sputtering, goes down, comes up. She's just about ready to drown. When the lifeguard jumps in, gets close, and she's coming up the last time, she's almost ready to take in water. She looks at the lifeguard and says, "Have you passed your lifeguarding test?" In this situation, which carry would probably be the most appropriate? How many years? I don't think so. She came up and she was ready to drown. Ah, grab hold of lifeguard and not let go. 100% committed to trusting him and him alone. You don't trust Christ plus your church or plus being good. Mm-mm. You trust Christ and Christ alone, just like they sang a few minutes ago. How many of you can read? Let me see your hands real high. Sweet. If you can read, you can witness to your friends, those same three friends. You can get this track online. I think it costs a quarter, okay? And what you should do is figure out a time when you can get with each one of those three friends, and all you got to do is sit down. If you don't know how to explain things, sit down and you'll read it. Quickly, let's go through it. It starts out, if God's purpose is for mankind to honor and serve in fellowship with him, then what happened that destroyed this perfect relationship? This is God's purpose, that all of us would have this relationship with him. Man has a problem with sin, and sin separates us from God. Sin, the middle letter is I. Your iniquities will separate between you and your God. Sin is thousands of I'll be God decisions in everyday situations. The wages of sin is what? Say it. Death actually is separation. When I say death, you say separation. Death? Separation. Death. Separation. So if sin, if death is separation, then eternal death is eternal? Separation. From? Do you know how long forever is? If you believe in everlasting life, you must believe in eternal death. Forever and forever and forever separated from God and all that is good and all that is godly. If we die with that sin wall still there, we'll spend forever without God. That is what the Bible calls hell, but that is not what God wants. So many people, they try to do it in their own way through a lot of good works, and hopefully my good works will outweigh my bad works. Religion, money, morality. But every single one of these it doesn't quite make it. For all have sinned and come what? Of the glory of God. What does that mean? The glory of God means his glorious perfection. And all have sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious perfection. I can't be perfect even though I want to be. But in Christ, I am forgiven. And he is the one that bridges this gap that is caused by sin because he paid for sin. For God so, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, eternal life, no condemnation, pass from death to life. Hey, you're sitting there with those one of those friends of your three friends. You take them through this and then you get to here. And you say, hey, where are you? Are you here? Are you here? On Monday, I told you about a kid I got to lead to the Lord who, when he was done praying and trusting Christ, remember what he said? Well, thank you. Could you imagine one of your three friends praying and trusting Christ and then turning to you and said, thank you for caring enough. Thank you for not being afraid to tell me the truth. Thank you. Thank you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Teens, this coming year, no, this coming life, please, don't be ashamed of the testimony of your Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Now, let me talk to you while you have your eyes closed. And I'm going to pray for you and we're going to be out of here. As we talked about sharing Christ with your friends, I know there's some of you that are struggling with your own salvation, huh? And you would just say, Rand, wow, I think maybe I'm understanding salvation a little bit more than I thought I did and what Christ did for me, but I do have questions and I'm concerned for my soul. Because you may be one in here that has agreed with God, but you've never committed to him. You might be here saying, yeah, I know all this stuff, but you have no hunger for the word. There's no desire to please God. There's no conviction when you sin. And you just say, Rand, I'm concerned for my soul. Please pray that God will give me the courage sometime this week to get with one of my teachers or one of the older students that can help me. I am not sure my sins are forgiven. I know that I do not want to be separated from God forever. Please pray for me. Can I see your hands? Lift them up and then take it down. God bless you there and there and there. God bless you there and there and there. Others, you can put them down. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you there, buddy. God bless you there. It's great. God bless you. Put your hand down. Someone else? God bless you. Appreciate your honesty. Anyone else? Okay, buddy, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, God bless you. God bless you. There are many, many. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask you to do something. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a priest. You must admit that you're a sinner. Tell God you're sorry for your sins. Tell him you believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God, and he came down, and he died for you, was buried, and rose again. And by faith, you commit your life to him. If you raised your hand, I would ask you to pray that even right now in your heart to God. Let me give you just a minute to pray that. I know sometimes there's doubts that come in, and they can be handled. And sometimes we just need some good growth. But if you prayed and trusted Christ, my Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, all I'm going to ask is please go to one of your teachers or come to me or Mr. Grass and when we're dismissed today and just all you have to say, I did. I trusted Christ. Tell one of your friends. Talk to somebody. Now, for many of you, let's get those three friends in mind. Simple question. Are you willing in the next 3 weeks to get with each one of those friends by themselves and share what I shared with you? Just, if nothing else, invite them to church. Bring them to youth groups so they can hear the gospel. How many of you say, Rand, yes, God's convicted my heart about being burdened for my friends who are not saved. Pray that God will give me the courage to share the gospel with them or to get them to church with me. Can I see your hands all over? Lift them up high. Oh, wonderful. That's cool. That's great. God bless you. Father, my heart's almost troubled, not sure to what to do, but I can pray and ask you to do your work. I know we're out of time. I do pray for the many tender-hearted teens who want to share your wonderful good news with them. Oh, I pray that you'd prepare their hearts even now, that the minute that these guys and these girls meet with their friends, that they'll be ready and want to be able to accept the gospel. I pray that, Lord, if all that raise their hands, that's probably over 150 teens that'll hear the gospel in the next couple weeks. For the many that raise their hands tonight for salvation, please, Lord, give them the courage to come and talk to one of us and to get some help in how they can be sure that they're sealed by your promise of your word. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us this week and what you'll continue to do in our hearts as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.